Good morning. It is November 24th, 2013. I'm your host, Joey Shimataro. I'm here with my good friend, Toby Pett, our regular podcast guest. What do you say, Toby?
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester. His normal sign-in is in, and we can begin now. We can commence. I just heated up my coffee. We're going to use the Bonavita coffee strainer thing that Kim Smith got me for my birthday. I'm going to start pouring it right now. It's all set up with some coffee that Mark Ring dropped off from Santo Domingo called...
This is Dominican Republic, Santo Domingo.
Café Molido.
Yeah.
Café Molido. Does it say what type of coffee that is?
What
kind of beans they're using? All right, here's the pour.
Tostada. Let's see. Toasted. Roasted. 100% Cafe Dominicano.
Okay, so all the beans come from the Dominican Republic.
Right.
All right, so I got the... So right now I just... If you can picture this, there's like a cone on top of my coffee cup with a number two coffee filter. Inside of that, I have my Cafe Molido coffee beans. And we poured in the hot water from the microwave. We're letting it steep for a few seconds. And now I'm going to open up the valve at the bottom, and which is going to let the coffee strain through. Here it is. Sounds like someone peeing.
Well, essentially, that's what's going on. The same concept.
Yeah, the filter. Oh.
Sounds exactly the same.
Little shake at the end. A little wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
Shake the tip.
Shake the for the perfect cup. All right, here we go.
Put it down on your...
Give it a little shake. I'm going to put it on my... It comes with like a little thing for you to put it down so any stray drips doesn't get on your desk. And my coffee is prepared. Smells good. Did you try yours yet?
Yes, wonderful.
You like it? Yeah.
Perfect for a Sunday morning.
Sunday morning. It's you know, it was strange because I had a cup of this earlier, and I thought, Mexican or Santo Domingo coffee would be like some kind of hardcore coffee, like almost like an espresso. But this is actually more like a breakfast blend, I would say.
Yeah, I don't think it's overly strong.
No, not at all.
I would agree with you. But I'm sure that they have those options as well. If we were to go to... the Dominican Republic and explore all their coffee options. I'm sure we could find some that are super strong and some that are more light, like what we're enjoying this morning.
Yeah, more of a breakfast blend. So as far as coffee goes, are you the type of person that can have a cup of coffee at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and it won't affect your sleep pattern?
It depends. Yesterday, I had one at 4 o'clock and it didn't affect my sleep pattern. Mm-hmm. But... I wasn't trying to get to bed at 8:30 at night because I had to get up at 4:30.
Right.
I was with a friend. We roasted up some game hens and enjoyed a really fine bottle of wine and had some great conversation. And I didn't turn in till 11, so it certainly didn't affect me.
At 4. Now what if... Do you think does it affect
yeah.
you?
As I said, if I had to go to sleep, I had to be asleep at 8:30 because I'm getting up at 4.
Yeah,
I'd probably be fighting it, but because I relaxed with a glass of wine and had a full meal.
Full meal, yeah, that puts you down.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know if it affects me or not. Like this time of year when I'm really beat from work, I think I could drink a cup of coffee at 5 o'clock and still go to sleep at 8:30, 9 o'clock at night. But in the winter, like after when it slows down in the middle of the winter, that would probably take me. I wouldn't be able to get to sleep.
Coffee for me is not just caffeine to keep me up. If that was the case, I'd have 5-hour energy or whatever stupid stuff is out there.
Yeah.
I truly enjoy good coffee.
I do too.
And that makes a difference to me. And we all have our favorites. I mean, some people like to go to have that Newman's Organics at Mickey D's, and others prefer Dunkies, and Starbucks is another option. 8 o'clock is great.
Do you 8 o'clock for money is good. I think my favorite breakfast blend is the Gloucester Joe's, that Perfect Storm. It's very light, very about as smooth and mild as a coffee as it gets.
They serve that down at
not at Mamie's Kitchen. They have it for sale there, but they don't. They don't serve it there. Yeah. I think they might. If you asked her, she might break open. I don't know. I don't want to speak out of turn. But they carry it at the Cave. They carry it at the
Cave down the West End.
Down the West End, they do the chocolate and cheese shop.
Wine, cheese, chocolate.
They have it at the True Value up at the Gloucester Crossing.
What a great place
is that! True Value, is that what we call that? What
do
we
Ace
call Ace Hardware. Sorry, yeah, Ace Hardware up at the it's Smith.
Yeah, Smith.
The Smith family, Smith Hardware. Yeah. They have it there, and they have it at Mamie's Kitchen. You can also order it online, GloucesterJoes.com. So there's that, and then I like in town. My favorite three places for coffee are the Lone Gull Double Americano. For $2 is I think the best coffee value in town. Cape Ann Coffee makes a great cup of coffee, and obviously I like Pleasant Street. You like? I think you probably like a more robust cup than I do, because you really that Atomic Cafe is on the board. The not Atomic Coffee.
Yeah, it's Atomic Cafe.
Atomic Cafe, and they brew Atomic Coffee. It's on the borderline of almost a little bit too intense for me.
Well,
not that that's wrong, I just, for my taste.
They roast the coffee up there in Beverly, but the key is when they're selling it to the restaurants to be served, it is something that is going to accompany a meal, finishing up a meal, whatever. So I think it's not a standalone product. Yeah.
Almost like a port wine has to have that extra to hold
up. Or Madeira, any of the other fortified wines that some people enjoy after dinner. Right.
Now, we're talking about after dinner and desserts, have you had Sticky Fingers?
I have not been there yet. I did see the posts that were put on the blog. I know where they are.
Inside of Brown's Mall.
Where the old Savory Skillet was and Gloria's and all the above. But have not been there. I can't wait.
I tried it.
Tried what?
Well, I sent our own Lois Lane, Donna Artizzoni, went down there. We ordered up some cannolis. And she went down, and I told her to get a couple cannolis. She came back with like 12 cannolis. Their cannolis are not the tradition, not what you would get at any other place in Gloucester, I don't think. The shell is almost like a caramelized sugar shell. I don't know how else to describe it. It's like almost like there's bubbles in it, and that's how they make their shell.
Do you think they're making them from scratch, or they're buying them?
I think they're making everything from scratch. I think that's part of their shtick. And then they had their ricotta or their cream had little orange rinds in it. You ever hear that?
Yeah. No, I know of people that do that. Yeah.
And I think they had almonds on the edges. It was nice. It was different, completely different than the other tradition, like what I consider like a. Well, Mike's Pastry was our...
That was mine,
that
too.
That was our spot.
I mean, anyone that grew up in Gloucester that had some kind of connection to the West End, as my family did, and as your family did, it was Mike's Pastry.
It was Mike's Pastry, yeah. Cafe Cecilia does theirs now. Virgilio's does cannolis. And I think my second favorite after Mike's Pastry, Scalfani's on the weekends does... And I like that traditional kind of that cream filling or the ricotta filling.
Yeah,
I like that.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. I mean, I have really fond memories of the West End growing up. But Sticky Fingers, I can't wait to go. Yeah. I wish them tremendous success.
Huge, big success.
And
it's a mother and daughter team, from what I guess.
Yeah,
and they go on the land and they brought some treats on the land. So we appreciate those kind of people. You give us food, you're going to get plugs. That's the way it works.
And we don't have any sponsors this morning, so other than Mark Ring's Coffee.
Mark Ring's Santo Domingo Café Molina Coffee. See, the people think that I make fun of the, just make fun of the Jews.
You don't discriminate. You make fun of everybody.
The Italians included. I'm just saying we make fun of everybody. No one just gets spared.
No one escapes.
But that's not making fun. That's a loving term. We like people. You know what? Ethnicity. Jesus, I'm never gonna get. You said it right.
Ethnicity, yeah,
is what makes this place special. The melting pot. And the different flavors all going together makes things interesting and fun.
Well, it can only make Gloucester a better place by having some of those options. I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, we talked about the Thai Choice restaurant and the fact that the quality of the Thai food there is on par with places that you wouldn't expect. And yeah. I don't think we have a particularly large Thai community here, but people love it. And we've got quality products. So.
Okay, here's a question for you now.
All right.
We're going to switch gears a little bit.
All right.
The city this past week announced that there is a huge number in free cash. Okay?
Which is not just free cash. It's a fund, a formula.
Well, they balance their budget, and then there's money left over at the end of the year. Whichever way they got it, and there's free cash. There's excess money over what the budget
Legitimate.
Is.
Yeah. They legitimately took the revenues in. There was a budget.
They spent less than what they took
right.
in.
Okay.
Which I, as a conservative person, I like that. Okay. But there are certain... But there's the big outcry from the big liberal factions of town.
Yikes.
Who want to spend it. You know what I mean? They want to fund... There's certain things they want to fund. And which is, you know, whatever. That's what the debate is.
Well, you, when you say liberal, you're talking about people who have a particular cause that's close to their heart. They want to make sure that free cash gets allocated toward those projects.
Yeah. Okay, so the difference between like a conservative, fiscal conservative is you like to have a little bit of money for a rainy day fund and whatever. And, you know, generally liberal people will spend and spend and spend, like, and not necessarily, or, you know, and this is, I'm not saying that in a bad way. What I'm saying is they don't necessarily care about the rainy day fund. They would rather allocate whatever money came in to whatever. Their position is that there are certain services in the city that are being underfunded right
okay.
now. That's their position. Would you say, just your mayor for the day, do you keep on the course of stockpiling a little bit of money away for a rainy day, or are there certain services in
Why
town?
Why can't
you
have
like
both?
See? Okay, but okay. So, where would you like to see some of that money spent?
Well, to be honest with you, Joe, I don't look at the running of the city of Gloucester under a microscope or under a magnifying glass. Mm-hmm. So there may be certain things that are in need. I'm not trying to beg off here, but there may be certain areas which need an allocation of some funds that I'm not sensitive to.
Yep.
And so I don't have any, I don't have a horse in the race with regard to underfunded
schools, or you don't have kids in the school system,
no,
so you
right.
don't care about
so I'm not
so
as
much.
Aware of it. It's not that I don't care.
You don't live out in Magnolia, so you don't care so much about the fire station being manned.
Well, I think fire stations and public safety is very, very important.
Okay, so are you saying that money should be allocated to that? Then?
Well, I'm saying that if it I'd have to do an examination with the chiefs, both fire and police, and find out if there were needs there. DPW probably is in need of certain equipment to take whatever limited manpower they have to allow them to do it.
They just bought a brand new engine, the fire engine.
Right, but I want to make sure our beaches for the citizens. I'm not talking about for the tourists.
Yep.
But I want to make sure that our beaches and Stage Fort Park and all of those places have state of the art. Anti-litter machinery. I want to make sure that we have the ability to sift the sand on the beaches like they have that tractor and device that they pull that cleans things up, and I want to make sure that all of the trash barrels everywhere get emptied on a regular basis. I don't want to see the homies, you know, all of the seagulls picking out the trash because we didn't have a chance to get down there. I'm just saying those are certain areas which I think
are you a fan of the carry-in, carry-out program or not?
Totally.
Okay.
I mean, if it minimizes the laziness of, you know, visitors or natives, yeah, people should take responsibility.
So you don't think there should be barrels down the beaches?
I think the way it is, carry in, carry out, is perfect. I don't think there should be barrels. Mm-hmm. But there are barrels at both ends and somewhere in the parking lots.
Are there? I thought there weren't.
I'm telling you, there are some barrels, which is where the dog poop seems to go.
That ends up going there.
And if you look down on the, if you go through Main Street,
yeah.
Okay, do you love Main Street? I know you do because yeah. You were part of the creative force that created the block parties.
Part of, yep.
There are trash barrels on Main Street. And I want to make sure that all of that, that we put our best face forward. Not, as I said, not for the tourists. If we do it for ourselves, the tourists will like it too.
Yeah, yeah. I'll say what I would like to see some of that money spent for.
Let's go.
Cause
another harbor launch?
No, let's not go there. A couple things.
Okay.
One, I hear that kids have to pay to take buses. You have to pay a fee to take bus to school. That and fees, athletic fees for kids to play sports. I think those are two things that I wish that parents
that did. We could underwrite.
That we could underwrite.
Right.
Out of some of that money.
And the reason why you have to pay is because the other parents probably want to make sure that if their kids don't do it, that they don't have to pay for it.
Well, but when I went to school, like, we didn't pay fees for
nor did
to
I
play nor sports or to do theater, or you know what I mean. I don't think
right.
Right across the board, not just sports, like all
right.
those things. I wish, because I think, like, I was talking just last night. I was talking to a college admissions person. They interview people. And they said one of the number one things is that they first is grades, because you know, and then after they go from grades, they go to making sure you're a well-rounded individual, and you have that resume of different activities that you do, and
that you participated in theater, in sports, and
I think you're taking away poor people or whatever.
All right,
that's one of my things, though.
Well, again, I was totally unaware of the fact that fees were being charged
for buses.
Yeah, I was unaware of that. I don't have kids in school, Joe.
Yeah,
right?
No, that's fair.
So I was unaware of it. And
what about the fees? Would you? So where do you fall on that? Do you think the kids should? Do you think that we should keep it the way
how
it is
much,
right now?
How much do they have to pay? I'm a real neophyte
it's
here,
like
Joe.
Hundred,
I really
it's like,
don't know.
I don't know if it's like a couple hundred bucks or $400. I'm not sure, but it's over. It's definitely over over $100 for
kids. I have no kids in the system. I really don't know. To make an informed choice, I think I should familiarize myself.
All right.
But it sounds like you're right on. It sounds like it's a great idea. Let's use some of those funds.
I should also say it's easy. It is very easy to sit back in a chair and say, yeah, we should pay for that. Because I'm looking at it from my perspective. I don't have kids in the Gloucester school system,
yep.
But I still feel this way. But I think that they're like people in Magnolia that don't have those fire stations open, like probably really feel strongly about some other issues. So where do you draw? So these politicians, which I totally respect.
It's Lanesville, Bayview, whatever.
But what I'm saying is I totally respect these people that have to make these hardline decisions and have to draw the line somewhere. And to second guess, I don't really want to play the whole second guessing game, but that's just in my head where I would put it, and not to say that that's even the right answer.
No, I agree with you. And you want to know something? It seems to me, from my not well informed point of view, but it seems to me that having a new modern public safety complex. In other words, a place where the police and the fire were in a central location, perhaps near Blackburn Circle, so that they can go in 100 directions, would be a good idea. You know, that no longer a central fire station downtown, no longer the police station where it is. But I don't know if you noticed, they're at least repairing, beginning to repair the decaying stairs at the police station courthouse.
Yeah, I think Donna went and took some pictures of it. She said she was going to go take some pictures of that.
Well, it's always...
Generally, with those things, they got some money someplace. Some grant came in or something.
Well, they've been deteriorating for some time.
Those are concrete steps?
Yeah.
So I didn't realize concrete would deteriorate like that. I thought it would be like more durable.
No, I mean, I think you have to, depending upon, first of all, they have to be done properly. And if there
drainage
was
drainage and puddles and stuff.
If the design wasn't correct,
yeah.
If for some reason there was sampling wasn't taken and tested to make sure that the quality of the concrete that was poured, and I'm not pointing figures,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm just saying that I know from my involvement in construction projects that there are a lot of reasons. I also know that if you put a lot of rock salt, you know, which everyone wants to put to melt the ice,
yeah,
that can cause the
cracks.
Concrete to deteriorate.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I think it's because what ends up happening is it causes the ice to melt, the water gets into the little cracks and pores, it refreezes, and the expansion of the ice then pushes out and creates bigger cracks.
Yeah.
So I don't know all the reasons why, but... It would be nice to be able to walk through that breezeway. And
have you walked through there?
Years ago.
I haven't walked through there, but it hasn't been because of... I didn't even know that the steps were deteriorating.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm happy that it's being done. Yeah. It's never been a place that I actually used. But I heard Ken Hecht, who bought the bank building next door,
right,
is going to be doing some nice landscaping outside of his place, which is adjacent to this at the same time. It's going to kind of be a nice public space. Yeah, very cool.
Good for him.
Yeah. So, the Shave Club for Men, which you claim... this is what we have to do this week. I'm going to bring in the razor, okay, from the Dollar Shave Club, and you're going to bring in the chic one, and we're going to put them side by side, and we're going to settle this for once and for all.
There's no settling, Joe. It's just you kept on talking Gillette, CVS, CVS, CVS. And to you, it was, is the Dollar Shave Club product better or worse? And in your mind, it was better.
Better value for a superior shave.
What I saw when it happened, when it arrived, and you were very excited about the quality of the shave that you got. You said it was the best you've ever had.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right.
Shave, quality of the
and
the product.
And my point was either these Dollar Shave Club products are getting the product manufactured for them by the Schick people,
mm-hmm.
or they have got a manufacturing operation because patents that Schick had have since run out. But this is a Schick Quattro blade that you were using.
I don't see you say that. I don't know how you base that off of
four blades.
Just because it's four blade doesn't mean this is a Schick blade or manufactured by Schick.
What I'm telling you is what happened when after they went through single edge blades and double edge blades and injectors and all. And I'm showing my age now, okay? Because all of this shaving stuff.
I know it too.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
They kept the race for more blades. It's like the megapixel race with cameras. Like
right. Well, it got up to the Mach 3, which was a Gillette product. All right.
And then they had to skip to the Mach 5, or whatever, the Fusion or something.
The only reason was because Schick went out and came out with the Quattro, which was four blades.
Right.
And what I'm saying, or what I'm asking you, I wonder why these Dollar Shave guys are marketing a product that either is manufactured for them by Schick or is very similar to that. And I'm just wondering if there's a story there.
Well, there might be a story there.
Why didn't they go to five like the Fusion?
There's three different options. There is a three blade one, a four blade one, and a five blade one.
Ah, okay.
But you have the option of it. So why
did you go with the four?
It seemed like the best. It was in the middle value because it was $6 per month for that one. And you get four blades, one per right. You use one per week.
I tried. Okay, I had the Gillette Sensor 2, I had the Mach 3, and I tried the Fusion, which is the Gillette 5-bladed product, and I went backwards.
You went to the Mach 3.
And when I discovered the Quattro, I found it was better than the Mach 3. But I did not like the Gillette Fusion, the five-bladed product.
I never went to it. I never tried it.
Well, I just find that it's somehow unwieldy, and I wasn't getting... I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if it was in my mind or not. But I teased you a little bit about it. We didn't get it on the into an exchange of posts. And we don't have to go into the reasons why. But the bottom line is this four-bladed product is similar to, if not exactly, the Schick Quattro.
I think the similarity, my guess is that the similarity begins and ends with it has four blades.
But you don't know and I don't know.
That's my...
Okay.
Because I think that Schick would have a problem with them just using their...
Unless Schick's manufacturing for them.
Unless Schick is manufacturing for them.
Which could be the case.
Could be the case. Absolutely. We're going to find... I have to find this.
And by the way, I am not anti-Gillette. I mean, there's nothing I'm actually pro-Gillette because it employs people in the greater Boston area. But I have found that the product that Schick produces is better.
I'm not anti-Gillette. My whole thesis was to try, when I went to the, I had a Gillette blade, it was on my handle for a month and a week, and I had to go and re-up. When I buy, I usually buy in quantity, try to get it at a good
last
price.
Last thing you want to do is get it, run out, right. Or pay
a
premium.
So I went to CVS or Target or something, it was Target, and the price was $36 for 15 blades. Or something like that. It ended up being just over $3 a blade, and I couldn't bring myself to do it. So I tried the CVS brand.
The
generic one, but the upscaled CVS generic one.
And you hacked yourself.
And I hacked the hell out of my face.
Right.
It was uncomfortable, and there was stubble left behind. They weren't worth 10 cents.
Right.
So
no matter how much you saved.
They're worthless.
Right.
So Rick Dowsett, I posted the pictures of my bloody face. Rick Dowsett emails me, says, you've got to try this Dollar Shave Club. And from the time that he suggested it, like seven other people said, you've got to try this Dollar Shave Club.
By the way, they have great marketing. Their YouTube videos,
are hilarious. Hilarious. So I try it, and you pay once. If you don't like it, you can cancel it immediately. I got the product. The shave was phenomenal. The smoothness, it was, when I say it was a luxurious
shave. In all ways, it was great.
It was great, and it was a third of the cost of the Gillette ones.
And I want you to be successful, and I want you to be smooth, and I don't want you to cut yourself.
I want people to know, when I find good things, I like to
right.
That's the whole purpose.
So my point when I talked about the Schick thing, like I said, I went through a process, personal process, that I ended up on a four-bladed razor. The combination maneuverability and number of blades.
Now, have you figured out how much one of the Schick blades, the four blades, costs?
Well, as I think I told you, I only buy the blades when I find them.
Oh, you like one of those stores, like the
Martin's
job lots
or Ocean State Job Lot or Martin's or whatever. I mean, Building 19.
Yeah. You're getting a good deal on them.
That's when I buy them. And if you went to my cabinet right now,
it'd be loaded with them.
More than enough for quite a while.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, that's a good way to buy them, too.
And that's the way I buy it.
That's
and
a good
so
way.
I don't know that I'm not the kind of guy that buys the three-pack of blades and goes down a month later to CVS or Walgreens or
right.
Target.
He's paying $4 a blade.
Right.
Because
that's right. not my thing.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. But anyway, I'm a huge fan of Dollar Shave Club. I'm going to be sticking with it for a while. And if anybody else wants to try it, I highly, highly suggest it.
And definitely, definitely look at the videos they have. They are hilarious.
Oh, yeah. They're hilarious. Oh, the wipes. Ass wipes.
One wipe Charlies, they call
them. One wipe Charlies, which are ass wipes.
Well, they're for, yes.
They're for your butt.
Right.
Butt wipes.
Butt wipes.
Now, they say that so I'm not completely sold on this company. I like the company.
It's another product that
Dollar Shave Club will send you monthly.
Right.
40 wipes for, I don't know if it was $4 for 40 wipes.
And it should be noted that they have aloe, chamomile, whatever, yeah. And they're peppermint scented.
Which I can't figure that out. Like, why would you want your asshole to be scented like peppermint?
Who knows?
But I mean, I think that they could have just done unscented or more. But like peppermint is like Christmassy. You want your butt to smell like Christmas?
I don't know that it's...
I would think more of a, like, I could see them doing more of a musk scent or a fresh, like the ocean kind of scent, like a Old Spice scent kind of type of deal.
Maybe because peppermint is more universal as opposed to, it's not male, it's not female.
But I think it's kind certain... of, that's, I think the Jewish people would be upset with that.
What are you kidding?
No, but the peppermint Why? Is kind of what like a Christmassy thing, isn't it?
No, it isn't.
You don't associate peppermint?
No.
With Christmas?
No.
Those peppermint candies, the red and white candies, you don't associate with Christmas?
You mean the candy canes?
Peppermint stick? Yeah, that's a candy cane.
I don't think that that's a Christian thing at all. No.
All right.
Altoids. Altoids are peppermint. No. I mean, no.
All right.
I think you're trying to create an issue where there
no,
isn't.
No, well, one. I don't understand peppermint. I think for my nether regions, right?
Okay.
I would think more of a less.
It's probably more information than most people want to hear about.
I'm just saying, like I would say, like a clean scent, like a ocean kind of fresh scent.
Well, maybe they did some market testing.
Maybe you think they change it up by the season?
No, what I'm saying is they may have. Done some market testing, and they came up with the fact that the most universally accepted scent,
yeah,
again, is not peppermint? Flavor.
Is peppermint?
Well, I'm just all guessing right. That they did some research.
So I tried them.
Yeah.
So I tried them. And, you know, they're effective. The way I kind of used them was I wiped a couple times with regular toilet paper.
I can't believe it.
Wait. And then I went with the one wipe tally to finish up the job.
Oh, good.
And so they on the package it says that they are you can flush them.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's a good idea. Because like if you know, if you're made, on a if septic
they're
ba- system,
if they're basically made of the same material as
toilet paper, they're not. They're more rugged than that. They're made so that you don't go through, you don't bust through.
Well, there are certain toilet papers that are better than others if you do have a septic system. So, but Joey,
but this is a one wipe challenge.
I understand.
You don't want to put it in a trash bucket next to you. You want this has to go. This has to go away.
I understand. So, how are you going to dispose of it, Joe?
I don't know.
If you don't flush
this is what I'm saying. I don't. I'm not endorsing the butt wipes. Although I like the idea of a butt wipe, I don't know that.
All right.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I'm all in on the Dollar Shave Club razors. I'm not completely sold on the. I won't reorder the wipes.
The one wipes.
Although I love the idea of
right.
of aloe on my butt.
Okay.
I like the
well,
idea.
I'm glad
chamomile.
I'm glad that we have that settled. I hope that when I see people on the street, they agree that getting off the subject is probably a good thing.
But I know that there are people that have used these for years, and it also amazes me that I just found out that there are adult butt wipes that have been around for years. I thought that this was something that some revolutionary thing that this Dollar Shave Club had, but in speaking with people, that some people have used butt wipes for years.
I don't know what to tell you, Joe.
You knew about this?
Yeah.
You did know about this. All right. Well, I was just a caveman. I didn't know.
No. I mean...
No, it's true. I mean, I didn't know. It's something I didn't know. There you go. Just learned something new. Moving on.
New subjects.
I want to give a congratulatory shout-out to Vicky Van Ness, who had probably the idea of the week as far as the blog goes. She put together a holiday fair guide. I don't know if it was Vicky or Vicky and Peter... Because they kind of post under the same moniker of contributors. They're together. But I think it was Vicky because she's the email that I have that I always send forward
okay.
things to. She put together a holiday fair guide. And this time of year, holiday fairs are like I was going to say like assholes, they're everywhere, but there's a bazillion holiday fairs.
Yeah, all you have to do is drive around Grand Circle. I mean, it looks like a NASCAR event with so many signs up for all these holiday fairs.
But she made a clearinghouse of information on the blog.
NASCAR.
And we stickied it on Friday, let it run through Saturday. So you could find out where it was. We're going to do this next weekend, too. And it was all her idea. Because I get these press releases throughout the week, and I just post them as I get them.
I got a text.
Okay.
Okay, from someone.
Okay.
Last night.
No.
Was it last night or the night before? Whatever. Demand, yes, Friday night.
Yeah.
And almost rude. I mean, when I see this individual, I'm going to let them know.
Ooh.
Well, it was like, is there a farmer's market this weekend? I mean, that was, I could probably read it, but it was that kind of tone.
The tone.
And I just said, look, do you need some help? Or do you want me to bring coffee? Are you going to be all right? And it was like, no, I want to know exactly what. And I went to the blog.
Boom.
And the information was there.
First post.
And right. And I put it out there to this individual. And the individual didn't even say thank you.
I was like, oh, wow. You know, I'm glad that they got the information and everything. But then
I still have the evidence here.
Do you know how many people, like, send me emails? Like, so someone, this happened to me three times yesterday. Someone asked me a question about something on the blog that, with a simple search, we go over this every week.
Right.
That could have been found out with a simple, type in the words.
Right.
And first post right there, right in front of you, instead of just typing that, they took the time to write out an email to me asking me to find the information.
Well, I got him the information.
Right.
This individual's got an iPhone, iPad, and, you know, he's got all that kind of stuff, but he's actually being demanding and rude. And I don't know what the reason was. Maybe he was trying to get the same pickles, those Maitland Farm pickles that you love.
Maybe.
I don't know what the reason was that he had to get the information, but the fact that he didn't
do it
not only didn't do it himself, but he didn't give me a thank you or a TY, whatever.
God forbid. They just think that, yeah.
That
drives me.
That somehow I'm an informed individual, therefore it's part of my purpose for being here on this earth to keep them well informed.
Well, yesterday I went to the Seacoast Holiday Fair, and that was well attended. And then I went to the UU. Yeah.
Right.
And that, I was on a mission for the pickles. I was praying that the pickle guy was there.
Maitland Farms. Right.
Those pickles, they're not cheap.
No.
Worth every penny.
Have you ever, you're not a martini type of guy. This is not your
end. Eric Lorden. I think he's going to say what you're going to say. Go ahead, tell me.
Well, you go over to East Gloucester Square, okay, and you will have, they make a sriracha vodka martini with sriracha, you know, which is a Asian hot sauce, just to spice it up a little bit. And they use as the garnish, instead of a lemon or a lime, or they use a Maitland Farms pickle.
Oh, is that what they use, Maitland Farms pickle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it just makes that.
That's interesting.
Experience special.
So Ken Duckworth, who was part of, at one time, they had a stand at, for when they had the Beach Gourmet. They were part of it, Duckworth's Beach Gourmet.
Yeah, well, they bought Ned's.
But they were at the farmer's market.
Correct.
Where this guy was.
Yes.
And Lara Laponicus, I think I said it right, I'm not positive, but she's the Backyard Growers Program, who also has a stand at Cape Barron's Farm Market. She provides a lot of the herbs and other things for Duckworth's Bistro. Now you're saying, so this is all this Cape Barron Farmer's Market, local fresh growing.
Well, Maitland
stuff.
Farms is a Salem group, but they grow all the products and created all themselves.
But Duckworth's is in, like, there's this vortex of all locally grown stuff going through Duckworth's.
I'm telling you, if you go to Duckworth's, have the sriracha vodka martini and they will garnish it with a Maitland Farms pickle.
Unbelievable. Eric Lorden from Passports says this is the best drink he's ever had.
Yeah.
And you're saying you're right up there with
him.
Fantastic.
I mean, tip-top, fabulous. And it part of that whole concept is that it has this fabulous, fabulous Maitland Farms pickle.
I'm tempted to drink the juice that's left over.
Why not?
Can you drink that stuff?
Why not?
Pickle juice?
Why not?
I'm tempted. I make a drink out of it? Well, with vodka or just drink it straight?
You could do it either way.
Really?
Yeah, why not?
A lot of garlic in it.
Yeah,
you could see the cloves of garlic.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, no, that's good stuff.
I mean, when you are of Mediterranean extraction, when is garlic a bad thing?
Apparently, I like it because those I went out of my way to go to get those pickles yesterday. I'll tell you that. So as far as the fairs go, though, so there was like four or five fairs listed for yesterday. This is my suggestion for the people that do the fairs. Next week, if you think there was a lot of holiday fairs yesterday, next week there's like 25 of them. It's insane the amount of holiday fairs all happening on the very same day. My suggestion to these people is to try to spread them out somehow or other, because they're all going to be competing with each other. Although the couple that I went to were both well attended yesterday, it'll be interesting to see next week how well, when there's like two or three times more fairs scheduled, all for December 7th. December 7th is 2 weeks from now. Is that right? It's not December 7th. I think that's 2 weeks from now.
Go into your smartphone and pull up the calendar app.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, so there are a lot. We're going to be, my sister's going to be at the one at the Manchester Athletic Club the night before and the night of. And she's going to be selling her cookbook. This is going to be... what do you think of these new...
The new ones? I loved them when they came in, when I first got a chance. Yeah.
I got these new technical jerseys.
Very technical.
Very technical.
If you are a person who skis, who goes to the Mac...
Works out.
Or the Y works out, this is a very technical...
we call it jersey?
Yeah, I'd call it a zip. It's like full zip. It's a full zip.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a pullover...
There are some pullovers, though.
I understand, but pullovers are either crew neck or V-neck or quarter zip. Right. This is a full zip with a left chest...
Horizontal pocket.
Pocket.
No, yeah, vertical, left, vertical pocket.
Yeah, left chest pocket,
yep.
But no hand warmer pockets. It's a...
It's a little bit fitted.
Very much so. It's not for fat guys like me. It's for athletic people like yourself.
It's for athletic people, but I should say... I got, the reason I bought this particular style was because I got a bunch of double XLs. There's like, I think I got 8 double XLs.
Well, it's a great layering item. I'm sure that it's not totally windproof, but it's wind resistant. You can, if you had a base layer to put this on underneath another jacket, you are going to be toasty warm, as I said, or if you go to work out. This is a perfect item until you get completely loose. And
I'm going to explain my move. All right. Because I work on the waterfront all these years, when we were kids, all it was cotton, right? It was
cotton and wool.
Cotton and wool. Right. Exactly. Right. And merino wool is a great product as well.
Yeah, but you had wool socks.
Wool socks and stuff like that.
And heavy wool jackets.
I grew up with white cotton tube socks. That's what I grew up with, right? And then
because you didn't know better.
Because I didn't know better. Then we went to the wool.
Yeah.
Right. Heavy wool, and then merino wool even better. But I have over the years honed my work attire down to a system, and the system consists of in the winter. A base layer of a dual layer polyester / cotton.
Yeah, base layer.
Blend. Dual, modern. Like those dual layer moisture wicking.
Base layer.
Base layer. Okay? Yeah. Soft on the skin. Wicks the thing. Then over that, a slick kind of polyester moisture wicking thin layer. Then over that, a technical shirt like this,
right,
which is a little bit thicker.
Well,
but everything
moves.
The
key is by having multiple layers of the type of construction that, and that, when I say the type of construction, the material and how they're put together.
Stitching, flat stitching, so it's not chafing.
For the lightness
yeah.
of what you have on, it would be remarkably warm and remarkable in the way that it will prevent the wind from blowing through you, and you can move freely.
Movement, because I have to bend down, pick things up, throw them up on the scale. Right. Crates, we're twisting, we're turning.
Somebody wanted to go down Good Harbor Beach with their stinky, smelly dog that you don't like, and wanted to run and play with that dog, this would be a good setup.
This is a great setup. No, it's because it's comfortable.
Not just to work.
And you can, but if you're in a house and it gets warmer, you just take the thing off. Layers are the way to go. There's no question.
It's same when you're out skiing or doing any other athletic activity. Part of the whole concept of layering is it allows you to reduce or add a layer as the day warms up or as your activity creates more body heat.
So all I buy now is these high quality products. And so we got a handful of these things.
Worth every penny.
Yeah, no question. It's about the value. Yeah. And
it's a generic brand. It says Good Morning Gloucester on it, but it is.
No, it's not generic. It's Nordic Track.
Saying it's on par with, let's say, Marmot, North Face.
Absolutely.
If you are the type of person that would normally buy a North Face piece or Marmot or a Mountain Hardwear, one of the other top brands. You're saying this goes there.
Exactly. Yes, totally quality. Good Morning Gloucester logo on the pocket, on the chest. And I think people are going to really enjoy these.
Well, you know, it'll be another one of those items that people will cherish, Joe.
Cherish, yeah. And we got double XLs for all the people because of the hoodies that I got. I didn't get double XLs. And readership, let's face it, you know, we get a lot of older folks that are like big guys, right?
Well,
that you can't wear, you really can't wear, an extra large is not comfortable on you.
No, but you also want those items so you can layer up, and in the process of layering up, you have to have that final garment that has to go over.
I'm a thin guy, but I kind of have a athletic build, so I'm wearing the large right here.
This shirt, shirt that I have on as my top layer while I'm sitting across from you, okay, is an XL.
Oh, there you go.
But the item that I have draped over the chair behind me is a 2X.
Double XL.
Because I have to put that over the X.
Right. So I would buy, I took one of these larges for myself.
Yeah.
But if I was going to put more layers underneath this or a heavier layer underneath this, I would have got an XL. You know. But the double XLs are plenty roomy. So I hope people are happy with them. So there we go.
They don't have to go to the fairs to buy them. Just get in touch with you at Good Morning Gloucester.
I'll take some pictures. I'll put them on the blog so people can get an idea. But I think did you have any topics you want to talk about?
I have a couple topics.
Okay.
And I think it's critical.
Oh, critical. Good.
I'm teasing. Okay. Look, Thanksgiving is so many people's favorite holiday because there isn't any of the phony baloney gift giving.
Yeah.
It's like family getting together, being family, hugging, kissing, eating good food, watching football, all of those good things. Without, geez, did we get a gift?
We spend enough money on presents.
Right. Well, some people, because they spend so much time with their family at the family meal, okay, don't realize that Thanksgiving is also a great time to enjoy a couple other things. Now, one of the things is the night before Thanksgiving Eve. Let's face it, everyone comes home.
Yeah.
You're at home. Do you want to hang with your family that you're going to have to be with all day the next day? No. You want to get out and see your friends. Well, I'm going to tell you, and it's not just a bias because I like the place, but one of the best takes in Gloucester, hands down, is going to the Rum Line
Thanksgiving Eve.
Mm. All right? There is a group of musicians that get together. By the way, this is no cover charge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, David Brown, okay, who was Billy Joel's guitarist. I mean, he's a great guitarist in his own right, but some people don't realize he was Billy Joel's guitarist for many, many years. Fly Amiro, who is from the neighborhood, who's a member of the group Orleans. His brother, numerous other top musicians that live in the area, they all play that night.
Mm.
And I will tell you that the music is of the quality that you would pay a substantial cover charge for. and they're feet away from you. You're in the middle of it. It's not like you're sitting in some concert hall. So I'm telling you, that's a great take. I'm sure that some of the other restaurants or bars around town have a similar process going on, but that's number one. Number two, most people don't realize that most of your breakfast joints around Gloucester are, in fact, open on Thanksgiving morning. The football game, the high school football game, is in Gloucester this year. So if you're going to the game, maybe get together with a friend that you're gonna, you'd like to see it. Don't wait for the chance that you might see your friend at the football game. Give them a call. Go to your favorite breakfast joint. I don't care if it's Mamie's Kitchen or George's, whatever. Go out and get some breakfast. It's cheap money. Let's face it, the least expensive meal of the day is breakfast. Don't forget that most of the breakfast places are open. And the last subject that I was going to report on is the fact that the Old Timers / Fiesta Pub Catch 22 location seems to have gone through another transition.
Yeah.
Katrina Fuller, who's been around Gloucester for a while. A lot of people know her in various places as one of the quality server bartenders. I guess she's been trying for a while. Her financial backer, it's my understanding, is what's his name, Dennis? Guy from Rocky Neck that owns the property between the Rudder.
Show your report on that? Do they make that stuff public or...?
I think it's public.
That's fair. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. It's my understanding that that's the money behind it. She's the expertise. Mm-hmm. And they're going to reopen. Now, they bought also the license from the Dragonlight. Dragonlight, the Chinese place that was down the Rotary, combined forces with the Pilot House. So now you can sit at the Pilot House and have your hamburger with your scorpion bowl.
Not anymore, though.
Yeah.
If they bought the license.
At the Pilot House.
Yeah, but if the Pilot House sold that license.
No. What I'm saying, Dragonlight from the Rotary, the Chinese place, moved into with, they combined forces with the Pilot House.
Oh, so they had an extra license.
They had an extra
license. So the extra license is the one that got sold to Trina to have a full liquor license at...
Right. One of the reasons why people feel that for the last year or so, the various incarnations of
Catch 22,
Fiesta Pub have failed is because they tried to be a pool hall, a sports bar, whatever you want to call it, with only a couple of things on draft. That somehow you need to have more options for your patrons because some people don't drink beer or wine. They want a mixed drink. So evidently they've done their homework. They've purchased the Dragonlight, and I think that's great. If I've messed up and there's a few details I just reported on, not 100%, don't get anyone's nose out of joint. We wish them well.
Oh, absolutely.
We wish anyone that's got business in Gloucester.
I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
There has never been a time where I've made a decision on where I'm going to go to eat on if they had a full liquor license. That being said, I know that there are people that it's important to. Like, I don't care if I have I can't get a martini someplace. That's not going to determine for me if I go to a place for dinner.
There are people who won't go out to a fancy meal if they can't start their meal with a martini or a Manhattan or something like that.
Yeah.
There are those.
I don't. To me, I don't think that was the reason why those places failed. It could have been, but to me, I think that the place had the stigma of being the old timers, and they had the they did a beautiful job of the renovation on the inside of that place when Catch 22 opened up.
Yeah, no,
it was as nice as any restaurant in Boston. It was beautiful, open kitchen. Fancy,
for a period
equipment?
Of time, there was a fellow that I knew that was hired to be the manager.
The facade of that place.
I went there, okay, to watch the football game a year ago.
Yeah.
All right. They had the big screen. They had the football game. They had good wings. They had all the above. I witnessed people coming in.
Saying they couldn't get a drink, so they left.
They found out that all they could get was beer and wine. They turned around and they left.
Oh. I think that, okay, well, that's fair.
So, I mean, I'm just telling you, absolutely. In that location.
I think that the location has the stigma of being, had the stigma of being the old timers. And having that cinder block facade, I don't care how many times you paint over it,
right.
It's still cinder block facade,
They this week, if people are not aware, if they did not see the post, they put a clapboard exterior on and softened it, so now it has a look of more traditional.
Yeah. Yeah. You also have to compete with like 30 unbelievable restaurants right around you.
Fine, but you know,
we're wishing them well.
That's all.
I'm hoping that Trina succeeds far beyond any expectation.
And I don't know what she's going to offer. I don't know what food options she's going to offer, but.
She has her own following to begin with.
Yeah.
And hopefully that's enough to, that with good food and good service will make that place a success.
I don't know what the overhead is. I don't know what the numbers are. I mean, the place is, they're not buying the property. The people, it's my understanding that the people that own the property do not want to sell it, yeah. But they gave them extended lease terms. Mm-hmm. And that's fine.
Yeah.
They know what their future is. It's solid enough that they should, Trina and her associates should be able to make their money back, their investment back.
I hope so. We'll wish them all the best.
Yeah.
So there was that. Another thing you reported on this week that we didn't mention, the Mexican Touch.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what's going on there.
I have no idea.
But, you know, on that corner.
Is it going to be a restaurant, do you know? Or is it, I mean, because if you say the Mexican Touch, that could be a massage parlor.
Yeah, but what's the difference between a normal massage parlor and a Mexican massage parlor?
No, I know.
If you ask,
it's probably going to be burritos and stuff like that.
Yeah, and that's fine.
That'd be great. When we first reported on it, we called it the Mexican Lunch.
You did. I sent to you that you will see the.
Oh, you said the Mexican Touch.
Touch, correct.
Oh, my eyes are that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I made a mistake and reported it as the Mexican Lunch.
But I happened to be just in the neighborhood and saw the new sign go up and,
like it.
You know, more options.
So, okay, so this week there was three things that we broke with the Mexican Touch.
Right.
We didn't break the one because the Gloucester Times had it the day before us, the Sticky Fingers.
Okay.
In the Browns Mall.
Yep.
But you did the one on the renovation of the old timers into some Trina Fuller.
I don't know what they're going to call it, but I think it's great. And you know, when Jim Davis and partners get their hotel down,
there'll be that many more people. Yeah.
Well, there'll be places people are going to want to walk.
Yeah.
You know, and whether it's the Brew Pub and Attitude 43 and
it's terrible. It was terrible to say that. Did you say Attitude?
Oh, I didn't even realize I did that.
It's terrible.
That wasn't on purpose, Joe.
Oh, of course not. All right. Well, that's good. We have on November 24th, 2013. We're approaching an hour long episode. This is a good conversation, though. I like it. Chock solid with information.
Yeah,
it's always fun. Well, thanks for coming by, Toby.
And thanks for the coffee, Joe.
And Mark Ring. Thank Mark Ring.
Oh, and Mark. Yeah.
Have a great day, guys.
All right. Take care.